Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to the Jack Trice Stadium press box for a little special edition podcast here today at CycloneFanatic.com. I'm Chris Williams, joined by Brent Bloom, following Iowa State's 2015 spring game. Short podcast for you today, but I thought we would give you some, you know, just thoughts on what we saw today from the Cyclones on a beautiful Visha weekend in Ames. How are you, Brent?
Great. Nice day. Good effort.
Yeah, was a good effort today. Right, yeah. Guys played hard.
It's one of those deals where it's hard to break down a spring game anymore. I mean, when we covered this thing like in 06, we went way in depth.
We did.
And wrote, you know.
We'd have like five pieces.
That, all these impressions and what it means for the fall. And, you know, the older you get, you realize that it's hard to take a lot from a spring game. You know, when you would go and see Seneca Wallace, you realize that guy was different than the rest.
Yeah,
when you saw, you know, a Tim Dobbins, you realize that guy is different from the rest when he played. But anymore, it's just good to see some football in April, and nothing bad happened today. I guess that's a positive.
Did you see that, a little bit of that, what you were talking about from Damon Tucker today?
I did. There were bursts where you go, whoa.
Yeah, that,
you
know, guy's
different. That was a whoa play.
You didn't see Brandon Jensen making that play?
No, and not at all. And, you know, and then you would see what Jeff Woody talked about with you this week. There were times where he just kind of took plays off because he was tired. He's not quite there in shape-wise. He's not going to be a, you know, 70-snap-a-game guy. But when he had energy and stamina, he made one play where he split the center and the guard and made a play in the backfield like
I know,
snap of a
exactly
finger.
Which player
and
you're talking
that
about.
That I haven't seen that from a defensive tackle at Iowa State and
Curvey
along maybe since Curvey.
Yeah,
because even the McDonoughs, he was more of a, you know, hold the space type.
Yeah,
and I'm not. I mean, he's got that Curvey body type, where he's not a big dude, but he was electric at times, and that was exciting.
How Shane Burnham refers to it is that quick twitch.
He does.
That's the best way to describe Damon Tucker.
And it was fun. I focused on him for a couple plays, and he snaps. You know, he snaps the center, and then but then you watch him the fourth consecutive play doesn't quite have the same level of energy. So it's going to be he's not going to be a dominant, you know, Nick Fairley type right off the bat, but he's going to provide something they didn't have at all last year. And I thought throughout the defense, they have more bodies.
They're
going to
be better on defense.
They will be better. You know, they at least have more options, because towards the end of last year, they didn't have anybody to throw out there.
Yeah.
I really liked what I saw from Jay Jones, another JUCO guy as well.
Do you think, I don't know, him and Northup, I mean, there's not a lot of difference between those two guys.
And you know, Jones is 6'3", 203, but he made a couple of really nice plays. You can see some athleticism.
He's an athlete.
Northrop looked really good, too, from that nickel spot.
Jordan Harris he had a few bursts.
He did.
Today. Across the board, I don't think he was great, but when a lot like Tucker's day, I thought, man, he made a couple of hits where it's like, damn.
Yeah, when he shows up, when he's good, he's better than what they had last year.
Yes.
And there was a time where you didn't really notice him today either, though. So there's still going to be some learning curve, but it's nice that there are some more pieces to the puzzle on that defensive side. And, you know, I thought maybe the player of the game on the defense was Brian Peavy at cornerback spot. I mean,
what everybody's been talking about. He's
matched,
the guy.
Matched up with Lazard on several plays, and he was right there athletically with him. And he's going to play a lot.
Yeah, and Allen didn't look, I don't think, very good today. Not overreacting. It's a spring game. I don't think he was very crisp, but I think Peavy had a lot to do with that.
And Peavy's a big corner, at least weight-wise. He's 5'9", 195.
Yeah.
And he showed up today. I thought Jamal Wiltz showed why they like him as well. So they've got four pretty good corners, I think.
This is problematic, though, Brent. We're going through and we're still talking about the defense. This is problematic to me. I mean, you don't want to overreact, but I didn't think that Sam was great today.
No,
Sam Richardson.
Not at all.
In fact, I thought Joe Lanning was the best quarterback on the field today. Now, again, that's just one
practice.
It's one
out
practice,
of
that we saw. So we don't want to jump to conclusions. But I thought today, I mean, if you didn't know anything about this team and you sat and watched the spring game, you would go, Joe Lanning's the best quarterback Iowa State has.
Yeah, and you would think that Iowa State's better on defense than they're on offense.
Yes, and that's a problem.
We know that's not the case, and it's
no DeVario Montgomery. Keep in mind,
and there were some ball on both sides of the ball, guys that weren't playing. And it was weird with – they had Peters and Cotton Moya both starting, but they couldn't tackle.
Yeah, which
they
is
had the,
weird.
So it just kind of – it wasn't exactly the best descriptor for what it will look like in the fall. But I agree, of the three quarterbacks, Lanning had the most impressive day. Sam, though, has there been a spring game since Sam has been here in 4 years? You go, whoa, look at that guy.
Not one.
I mean, he just – I don't know if he just doesn't
– Not one. I'm not judging. Yeah. Listen, I'm not throwing it out there and saying that Lanning should start game one against Northern Iowa. I don't believe that. But I'm just – from today, what we've seen, I thought Lanning was very impressive to me.
He was.
I mean, I stood down there. I got to stand down there on the sideline and watch the majority of the game today. And he's a tough dude, man. Like, he is everything we talk about when it comes to that body, that arm strength. No question he has the best arm of all those quarterbacks. He showed it a couple times today, I thought.
Yeah, the arm strength was good. The accuracy was pretty good. I mean, that's the knock on him. He doesn't make all of the throws accurately. He forced a couple. But the thing that he can't show, and we were talking about this before we went on, is he can't show the physicality running because they can't tackle him in the scrimmage.
Yeah.
So if you add that, I mean – some of those plays where he gets touched, he's carrying those guys for a couple of yards, which would certainly help the offense. And anybody who watched that game today probably thought Lanning was the best of the bunch, at least from a physical tool standpoint. The question is, can he grasp the other parts of being a quarterback, which is leading the team, you know, running the offense, and all that comes with it, things that Sam is a step above everybody for. But at the very least, Iowa State has three capable bodies at quarterback, and we couldn't say that last year.
In front of them? I came away a little bit encouraged by what I saw with the offensive line. I watched Wendell Tyese very closely.
What a huge human being.
Dude, and I was standing down there with Ben Bruns the first couple of series, and Ben was very impressed with what – and that's – I say it all the time. If I ever am going to analyze an offensive lineman, I call Ben Bruns.
Yep.
I say, hey, Ben, what do you think? And he was very impressed with what he saw from Wendell today. You could just tell. I mean, he's so big and physical. I'd be very surprised if he's not starting at guard this fall.
Well, he gives them something they don't have. And, you know, Onia Moila is a tough guy, real hard worker. He's just not physically as big as Tyese is. And there was a screenplay that turned into a touchdown with Tyler Brown. Lead blocker on that play was Tyese.
Yep.
He cleared out two guys.
Just mauled him,
I mean, they had no answer for him. And I don't know. I loved your podcast with Jeff Woody this week of why didn't he play as much last year. We don't know for sure. But it appears that he has taken a step forward mentally to grasp some of the concepts. And they're going to need him because I think that center is going to take a step back a bit without Farniok. So if you can have good guards alongside, and a big key for that line, we did not see him today, is Daniel Burton's health.
Yeah.
And he's been a starter for 2 years.
And Daigle, too.
Daigle's
those guys can stay healthy. They're both really good. Yeah.
But I think those two guards can help out the center to pick up some of that stuff on the interior if healthy. And Burton could be a really good player. He just hasn't been hurt or hasn't been healthy for a year and a half.
Running backs, I thought Tyler Brown probably was the most impressive one that we saw today. There's been a lot of steam about Mike Warren, obviously, but Brown's got that extra little burst to him. Now, a little bit of Aaron Wimberly in him.
Yeah, that's a good comparison.
Yeah.
And Warren will develop. He played a lot better in the third quarter than I think he did to start the game.
Mm-hmm.
You could see some of that one cut stuff.
Yeah.
The size difference between him and Brown, but
they're both going to play.
They're going to play. It was interesting though. And maybe it's because the quarterback run game was not really part of this game because you can't touch the quarterback. But they passed the ball, I thought, more so than ran the ball, and that's going to be the case.
Yeah.
For this offense, they're going to run it a little bit, but with their three receivers, and that was maybe my biggest bright spot of this game was seeing a healthy Quentin Bundridge.
Yeah.
And they couldn't tackle him.
That's who Rob Gray's writing about. I know. He wasn't supposed to play today, was he?
No, they weren't going to play him, but then it was actually Todd Sturdy came up with the idea because they had an injury earlier in the spring. And they said, hey, Coach Rhodes, why don't we just have a half-thud practice, which is no tackling, and then we'll throw the non-contact guys out there so they can get a good feel for it. So that's Bundridge, Peters,
Cotton Moya. Yep.
And then so it went well a couple weeks ago, so then they decided to do the same thing with those guys today. But it was that one play he made, I think it was the play of the game, where Sam threw a great ball down the right sideline, and Bundridge went over the top. I believe it was Sam Richardson, the corner,
yep.
to make a catch. And that's that's that explosiveness that Bundridge has, which really will supplement the size and the physicality of Lazard and Montgomery that'll help them out.
Good crowd today. I was surprised. They estimated 7,500. I didn't think they'd get to 5, so I thought really nice crowd.
Great day.
Dude, so when I walked into this joint today, and you can attest to this much more than me because you've been to more games in this stadium than I have in your childhood and whatnot, but I don't think you could even fight like getting a little bit of a chill in the back of your neck looking at this end zone. I've seen it from behind a lot driving into Ames. I've looked at it from the Jacobson building, but it's growing up, man. Like, this place is going to be it's going to be way better than what I thought. I don't know what I had in my mind. You could probably talk about this better than I could because you were going to games here in 1990. But, if you've been coming here a long time, like, it looks completely different in Jack Trice Stadium.
And you and I have both been to different venues throughout the Big 12. You know, when you walk into – and even the old Big 8, when you walked into Memorial Saban in Nebraska, you got more of a feeling than Jack Trice used to be. Well, it's not quite there to Memorial Stadium, but there's a woe factor now when you walk in because it's – I didn't realize how big it was going to be.
Yeah, I know. I'm the same way.
All the way to the upper deck.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it would be a south end zone, but I thought maybe it'd be below. I don't know what I was thinking exactly. But when you walk in here, you get a really good, realistic expectation of what's going on. And I noticed just when I was down on the field before the game, the way the sound reverberated from the other scoreboard to that scoreboard. Mm-hmm. When you get this place full, I mean, it's going to – the noise will stay in. Mm-hmm. It's going to create a huge, huge advantage. And I was talking to Ben Bruns about this. They're going to use a certain type of bleacher seating that is used at Seattle for the Seahawks.
Oh, really?
Same type of feel. You know, and that's known for its noise that bounces around.
I didn't know
there.
That.
So there's going to be elements here. When this place is rocking, it's going to rock even more. And when Jack Trice is full – of people, it's hard to find a better venue in the Big 12. Now, when people aren't here, it does not look as good.
Yeah, then it sucks.
But when people are here,
spade to spade.
And I think at least for the first two games, I mean, it's going to be worth coming to see because it's going to be a different feeling here. And then I didn't even realize they're putting up the ribbon board as well.
I was just going to bring that up. I had no clue that they were adding that to the stadium. And by the ribbon, they had the same type of deal they have in Hilton Coliseum.
But it's going to go all the way across. Both sides.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's they're upgrading stuff around here, and it's amazing the amount of the way Jamie Pollard can stretch a dollar.
Yeah.
Because if you look at that right there, that's $60 million. Mm-hmm. There's some, like, Oklahoma had to suspend some of the construction of their new stadium because they ran out of money, but they're talking about like $400-500 million to do something similar.
Yeah.
And so it just, the way Iowa State has been able to piece this together, it makes Iowa State up a level in the Big 12, and I think it's really going to help the game day atmosphere.
A couple other notes. Nick Babb was here today. I don't know if you saw that.
I did see that.
Here for basketball recruiting. He does have an Iowa State offer.
So
he hasn't committed, but I think he will.
It's probably a matter of time, right?
Yeah, I would be stunned, Bloom, if that doesn't happen.
If the question for me was, does he have an offer?
He does.
And if he does, then
he has an offer.
It's just a matter
of time. It's a developmental thing. I mean, they think that they can develop this guy over the next year and turn him into, you know, hopefully he's an as long. Like, he's probably not going to ever be Royce White or, but like, you need clubhouse guys
exactly.
who work hard and want to be here. And I think Nick can do that.
Well, and I think last year's basketball team is an example that if you've got 10 guys who think they're starters, sometimes it doesn't go as well. Iowa State's not Kentucky. Sometimes they can bring in, mm-hmm. 8 and 9 McDonald's All-Americans. So if you get 12 scholarships, if you can have a guy that's a good dude who's going to work hard, is going to play defense, there are enough shots to go around for everybody else.
Yep.
They don't need, you know, 8 guys averaging 4 or getting up 10 shots a game. And I think Babs, like his brother supposedly, could be a big physical guard that can help out.
He needs to add weight.
He does need to add weight. That's what the year off would do.
Yeah, I stood next to him, and I mean, he'll get in the weight room right away. I mean, that's going to be what they need from him.
You look at the numbers, you go, he didn't do anything at Arkansas, but you give him some time. You get a year to grow up, and he could be a role player. You need role players. Not everybody can start.
Yeah, I would agree. So that's he's the only basketball guy I saw walk. I mean, Naz was here. Monte was here. George was here. Fred was here. The whole crew. But newsworthy-wise, that's all really I have to report from that. Who do you give a spring game ball to, Bloom?
Oh, that's tough. I came away most impressed with Peavy.
Peavy?
I like him. I like him a lot. I mean, the Ryan kid from Trevor, but he's the USF Messiah MVP. Yeah. You know that one guy who just always explodes in the spring game and was like, oh, look at this guy. Yeah. There wasn't really a standout, I didn't think. I mean,
the guys who stood out to me, and granted I was looking for them.
Sure.
Tucker and Lanning, like, were the two guys who really popped to me.
I'll agree with Tucker's going to have a huge impact.
Yeah.
He is.
And again, like, I want to make it clear, I'm not calling for Lanning to start over Sam Richardson. He showed me more today than he did last year in the spring game. Because I went into last year's spring game too, Brent, wanting to watch him and see what Iowa State had, and he was okay. Today, I mean, you saw a step in his game where like, okay, this guy can play at this level.
I totally agree. His improvement from last year to this year was immense.
Yeah.
I mean, different looking guy. Looked more comfortable, and the physical tools have always been there. It's the other parts of it. I would be comfortable if he was under center.
Darius White, I thought, was okay at defensive end. I mean, he's a good pass rusher, I think. I mean, there's a couple guys there that they can move around.
I thought Willie Harvey.
Yeah, he looked okay.
He looked okay. They rotated those linebackers in, and I mean, they'll have some
options
there. Brian Mills, yeah, he's solid. The linebackers and the secondary play won't mean anything unless they can stop the run up front.
Correct.
And so it's up to Tucker. Really anxious to see Bobby Leith when he comes in. The reports look good for Pierre Aka. Look bigger at least.
He looked a lot better.
I don't know if the light will ever come on for him.
He looked a lot better though.
From what I hear, Terry Ianni, don't expect a whole lot from him.
Yeah,
just gonna throw it out there.
I've kind of heard that too.
So they're gonna need somebody like Leith to come in and play a little bit, and then hope Robbie Garcia gets better. Vernell Trent can provide some solid snaps, and if they have multiple bodies, it'll help, because towards the end of last year they had nobody, and they gave up a bunch of yards because of it.
All right, Bloom, let's go win some trivia.
I like our team this year. For as much as Mark Charter knows a lot about a little, that should help us.
And Brian and Stacey Leisure are
contributors.
They're solid. Brian's probably the MVP going into tonight, I would think.
My wife will provide very little.
Yeah. If there's anything medical-related, Ashley could step up. But other than that, she's worthless.
But we'll lead the league in good times.
Yeah. Cheers to that.
Yes.
Thanks indeed for listening, everybody. Sorry it's short, but we've got Rob's writing a couple stories. Jared will have video. Of course, all week long we'll be covering the basketball recruiting trail as it's heating up. Thanks for listening. So long, everybody. Have a good weekend.